For the sound, you might be hearing sound coming from all over, but I think the sound is coming from the speakers at the top. They changed all the settings here because they have a function happening this week, so please bear with us. Today I want to bring, my name is Brian Jones. I'm the senior pastor here, for those of you who do not know. Today I want to bring you a subject that I believe that the Lord has been speaking to me about over the last few weeks. I've been dealing with a lot of stronghold issues. Demonic strongholds in the lives of people. Things that have been happening in their homes and in their lives that have been affecting them. The enemy has been rampant, especially, I don't know what is happening, but especially over the last couple weeks, it seems as if there is a sudden rise and escalation of demonic activity. I don't know whether the enemy realized that something is happening in the kingdom of God and he's getting active.
Hallelujah!
Something Can I say something is happening? Something is happening in the kingdom of God. He knows that his days are short and limited. He knows that. And God is pouring out his spirit upon his people. And he's getting agitated. Let's agitate him a little bit more. You see, many Christians are afraid to mention the name demons. Nah. And I'm going to tell you that I've seen many, and I've seen quite a few in my time. From the time I was at university, I began to experience this other world being attacked many times by demons. So I understand where they're coming from. But I want to tell you as believers today that you have authority and power over every demon. I just want to say that again, because I don't think some of you believe it. I want to tell you that as believers, as born-again, spirit-filled believers, you have power over every demon and over every demonic activity, so you can tell them where to go. You have authority over them. You see, that people, I've been finding out this week, people should be achieving. They're not achieving. There's been blockages in people's lives. There have been hindrances. Things have been moving around in their homes. People have been attacked spiritually. Even this week, I'm going to tell you that I was spiritually attacked. But I'm going to share some more with you on that next week. There's the spirit of infirmity that has been active. People waking up in the morning to find that there are marks on their skin and scars on their skin. The enemy, demons, has been active. I want you to know that there is a war going on in the realm of the spirit. You might not be able to see it, but I want to tell you that right now, as some of you are sitting in this place, there is a war going on. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, we are reminded to be alert and sober of mind. Why? Because your enemy, my enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. But I don't want you to be afraid this morning. I don't want you to be even startled, but I want you to be aware. I want you to be prepared, and I want you to be confident in Jesus. In preparing, know this, that although there is a war going on, the battle, and I know some of you are facing some battles at this moment, the battle that you are going through has already been won. 2,000 years ago, Jesus hung on the cross and he said, like we've been singing this morning, it is finished. It is over.
Hallelujah.
Kaput. Done. He said, it is finished. Somebody say it is finished. Come on, say it to yourself. It is finished. No more. And so what I'm doing over these 2 weeks is bringing to you this thought or series then, pulling down spiritual strongholds. And so today, what I'm doing is focusing on the mind. And so what we're going to be doing over the next 2 weeks, we're getting ready for war. There is a battle that is going on for your soul. There is a battle that is going, a fierce one that is going on for our children. The enemy is after our children, our sons, and our daughters. Somebody in here tell me it's not happening. Because from the news, when I look around at what is happening in the community, clearly the enemy is at war. So we need to rise up as a church and know who we are and know what we carry and know that we have authority. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. There's a fight going on. Oh, somebody just need to wake up. There's a fight going on for the world. But if we know how and when to use our weapons, our weapons are the Word of God and prayer. Can I say prayer? Somebody say prayer.
Prayer
happens Friday nights, 7:30. Somebody say prayer. So I'm looking to see some of you, all of you, most of you, at prayer on Friday night, 7:30. Somebody say prayer. Amen. And so the scripture says in Psalm 24, it says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and the world, and they that dwell therein. So everything that has been created has been created by God and has been created good. And the enemy is seeking after everything good that God has created, even your soul. I know, we know that we belong to God, and nothing, that's the confidence I have, this is the confidence that you need to have, nothing and no one can pluck us out of the hand of God. Amen?
Amen.
Let me say that again. So you get it. No one, nothing can pluck you, if you're a born again believer, can pluck you out of the hands of God. No, not even the devil will be able to do that. You know what the Bible tells me in John chapter 10 verses 28 to 30? It says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them, that the Lord is talking, that Jesus is talking about you and I. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I want to tell you that no one, not even the devil, will be able to pluck you out of the hands of Jesus. This is the confidence that I have. If you are in his hands, you are in. If you are in his hands, you are in. You are covered by the blood, as we've been saying, of Jesus. If you are out, I'm sorry for you. If you have your armor on, you are fully protected. If you have your weapons drawn, you can defeat any enemy. Actually, you don't even have to fight. I come to tell you that the Lord says that if you stand still, as we've been saying over these past weeks, if you stand still, you will see the salvation of your God. But God says, all you need to do is believe and stand still, and then you will see my salvation. Yeah, somebody's going to see the salvation of your God, of my God. Hallelujah. The Lord will fight for you. More than that, let me tell you this, more than that, when you apply the blood of Jesus, nothing or no one will be able to touch you. According to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13, tells us about the children of Israel in captivity. And God says to them that you guys need to mark the blood of the Lamb upon the doorpost. In the same way, it says in 12:13 of Exodus that the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you. There needs to be an amen after that. Yeah, when I see the blood, what God is saying here, that actually when the enemy sees the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, the enemy will run. But when God, the Father, sees the blood of his son, what he said to you, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. What God is saying is that I will cover you. So the blood is a covering, so no destructive plague, no harm, no danger, anything that the devil is going to put in your path will prosper, because the blood is a covering over you. The blood, strong, powerful, the blood of Jesus. You know what I do when I'm casting out demons? All I have to say is, the blood of Jesus be upon you. And immediately they are defeated. There is power, wonder, working power in the blood of the Lamb. We need to use the blood a bit more. There's a reason why Jesus 2,000 years ago shed his blood. Because he wants you to use it in times like this. The world doesn't know about the blood. But we are privileged because we know that there is power in the blood of the Lamb. Psalm 91 in my verses 9 to 11 says this: because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, the habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Somebody need to hear this morning. I believe I'm speaking a prophetic word here this morning. I'm going to read that scripture again, because somebody needs to get it in their experience. God says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy inhabitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For he shall give his angel charge over you to keep you in all your ways. So I want to focus on the mind. The mind. Turn to the person next to you and say that it's all in your mind. Say it again. Let them know that it's all in the mind. You see, I believe that God confirms his word. And we did in the Bible teaching on Tuesdays, 7:45. The Bible teaching.
Amen.
Praise God. 7:45 on Tuesdays. I was going to speak on hell, because there's lots of questions around hell. Some people say, does hell really exist? And I was going to bring that, but I felt a prompting by God to just leave that for a couple of weeks, and I want to continue. I want to go deeper into some things here about strongholds. But I believe that God, we've been teaching on hearing the voice of God effectively. And I believe that you can hear God in many ways. My daughter walks in as I'm going through my sermon. She didn't know what I was speaking on, and she came in and she was listening. She was playing this song by a singer. Her name is Yeba. Anybody heard of Yeba? Yeah, I know the young people with her. Yeah. And she's very good. I think she's the daughter of a pastor. She's got an amazing voice. And so I searched her online, and then I clicked onto one of her videos, and it was entitled My Mind. And I'm saying, yes, God, this is a confirmation. And a line in the song says, I'm about to lose my mind. But what I want to say to us, that when the blood of Jesus covers your mind will never be lost. But you will have a mind like the mind of Christ. Oh, does somebody need a mind like his? And so that was a confirmation for me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Where do imaginations take place? Yes, casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We are in a battle, a fight between the flesh and the spirit. I want to tell you today about this battlefield. The battlefield is located in your mind. They say that it is the playground of the devil. Notice in the scriptures, we are told to put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet protects the head. It is part of our armor. Why? Because we need the hope and we need the confidence of salvation when our battles are fought. Let us establish what a stronghold is. A stronghold is exactly what it says on the tin. A stronghold. It holds strong. Strongholds are built upon deception, and they're built upon lies that we've accepted from the enemy in our minds. There are so many strongholds that Satan uses to try to control our minds. I'm going to tell you that our minds in these last days need to be covered with the blood of Jesus. He knows that if he can control your mind, then he can control your life. In the natural, a stronghold is an area captured by the enemy. For example, if the enemy captures all of London, London becomes a stronghold. And from London, it will be the base, it will be the center of everything. Strategies, planning, everything will happen outside or inside London. And what they will do, they will capture other areas of the country. Manchester, Birmingham, Redditch, Wolverhampton. Wherever, they will capture every area of the country until they have the total country under their control. So in the same way, the enemy works. He gets a stronghold in your life. He gets hold of that, and he uses that for a base to open doors in your life. He opens doors in your existence. He will do things. He will capture areas and areas until he has you taken over totally. That is why we are encouraged by the book of Proverbs 4:23 that we should guard our minds. So found in the Common English Bible, it says, Proverbs 4:23, more than anything, you guard, protect your mind, for life flows from it. You see how powerful your mind is? You see how important it is? It is in the mind that we serve God. It's a spiritual, your mind is a spiritual hard drive that can be programmed. It is impressionable. It is full of creative ideas. Rights and wrongs. Your mind is a gold mine. It is valuable to somebody. And there is a constant war for ownership of your mind. I want to tell you that you need to guard your mind, especially in these last days. I used to work in advertising, so I know what it's like. I create beautiful pictures, beautiful sound, experiential advertising, so people feel and they see and then that gives them the power to spend on their credit cards. Forgive me, please. In Isaiah 26 and verse 3 it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." And the first and the greatest commandment, Jesus said, is found in Matthew 20:22-38. Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your..." Amen. So this, Jesus says, is the first and the greatest commandment. God is expecting you to love him with your mind. And so our mind is a constant battlefield between good and evil. The Apostle Paul, this man who is up there, I believe, with God, look what he wrote and look what God has done through him. He wrote in Romans chapter 7, verses 18 to 19. He says, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me." This is coming from the Apostle Paul. "That is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good," he says, "but I cannot carry it out." Doesn't that make you feel not too bad this morning? Because that is coming from Paul. Actually, what Paul is saying, every time I am trying to do the good, the bad presents itself. He says, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but I do the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing." I thank God for his grace, because I'm not like Paul. We must not allow sin to enter our minds. To prevent that from happening, our thoughts should be thinking on Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just," the Bible says, "think on these things, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, think about such things." Your mind is who you are. Your mind is who you are. Do you believe that? Some of you don't sound too sure. Well, this is what the scripture says. It says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." What are you thinking at this moment? Your thinking is to do with where you are. So if you don't get clear thinking on a subject, you will not be able to develop that subject. And that is why you will find when people get things wrong, like many of us do, we stop for a moment and we say, "Oh, I wasn't thinking straight." Has anybody ever been there? That the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11 said, "When I was a child, I thought like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me." The biggest fight you will ever have in your life is in your mind. Your mind is a battlefield. There is a constant war that is going on. And even now in this meeting, there is a battle that is happening in some of your minds. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. When we talk about strongholds, we immediately think of sin. But as well as sin, there is a host of other strongholds, such as depression. Do you know that Christians get depressed? There is fear. Christians can become fearful. There are phobias, unbelief. All these were inherently passed down to us as a result of the fall in the Garden of Eden. Not this garden, but that garden. And as a result of sin, we are left struggling internally in areas that people cannot see. I'm going to tell you, this is the case. And that's why when you have problems, a lot of problems in marriages, because beyond the makeup, the clothes, the wigs, the smiles, yes, the wigs, the smiles, after a person get to know who you really are, some people are going to run. You don't think that is true? The fact is, we Christians are very, very good at covering it up. But I want to tell you, and don't feel ashamed about this, but the church are as affected. People are dying through depression in the church. People are going through hardship and turmoil. Things are attached to them, and they're covering it up with a nice coat and a nice wig and a nice smile. But Jesus says that he has come to break all of that, the strongholds, and set you completely free, even his church. Our desire is to be who God wants us to be. Amen. Living in freedom, not being actors, acting our lives, pretending to be somebody else when we are weighed down. We are weighed down. I think it's time for us to be honest. Lift your hands up and say, yes, Pastor, I am going through this, but I believe that God is able to get me out of it. We're weighed down with depression, weighed down with heaviness, weighed down, and we come into this building and Jesus wants to set you free. This is what he has come for. I believe it is time, 2019, for the children of God, the church of Jesus Christ, to know truly freedom. But you'll never know freedom if you come in and out every single week in your beautiful coat and go home and come again next week. You are still the same. But I hear God saying that he has come by his power to release the church. You know, I'll tell you a story. This young lady, she was a pastor. She was the wife of a pastor. And every time I saw her, she gave me the smile. She gave me scriptures. And I'm thinking to myself, what a wonderful lady. What a wonderful lady. Her marriage had broken up. And I think she was going through something because she was still giving the scriptures. She was still dressed beautifully. But one Sunday morning, I saw her and she began to give me the scriptures. And began to tell me how good God is. But on her breath, I could smell alcohol. She was coming straight from a party, going home that morning while I was going to church. she would have received an Oscar for her behavior, for her acting. She was very good. But you know what happened? She realized that there were strongholds in her life. She came to one of our Wednesday meetings, and as I began to pray, the woman got released. She got released. What she began to do, as the demons left her, she began to swear words, some words I have never heard before, but I cannot utter, not even in this building, not even at home. And God released her and set her free. You know, the Bible says that out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I come to tell somebody today that whatever is in your heart that is not supposed to be in your heart, God said he is able to remove it by the power of his spirit. So I'm saying to somebody that strongholds that are affecting you are going to be no more. Strongholds that you've been battling for with over years, God said today you can know freedom in Christ. This is what Jesus has come to do. We should be living free, free as believers. Running, walking, leaping, praising God, giving him thanks without the weights, without the depression, without the heaviness. Because Christ has released us from that 2,000 years ago, but some of us are still carrying it. But God says, let it go, let it go, let it go. The book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 20 to 23. What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. You hear this? Sexual immorality. Some people say, no, I'm a Christian, I'm fine. But this is what the word is: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from inside, and it defiles a person. We need to be liberated. We need to be liberated. Jesus Christ is our liberator. Just like Moses in the Old Testament liberated the children of Israel, took them from out of captivity, out of Egypt. Well, Jesus Christ in this New Testament time is your liberator. He's my liberator. And today he has come to liberate us from strongholds. I'm going to tell you that freedom is in the mind. You can be freed physically, but you can be bound up mentally. I have seen people stuck in situations where the doors have been opened for them to get out. And for some reason, they are able to move. They're able to get out of their prison. There is nothing that is holding them physically. There are no chains. There are no prison bars. But there are chains and there are prison bars in the realm of the spirit. And they're locked in, not being able to move. Why do you find that there are people who are unable to get away from persons that are no good for them? But time and time again, they go back. They go back to this person, and he goes round and round in circles, doing the same dumb thing, time and time again. Doing it. I'm a Christian, but I'm going to do it anyway. And it's leading them to hell, and it's leading them to the grave. They keep going back Well, that's what you call a stronghold. And God has come to deliver you. God does not want you to be enslaved anymore. He doesn't want you to be tied anymore. And I've got to tell you that there are Christians, because God has told me, and He's confirmed His word, that there are Christians who are tied. But Jesus said that He'll come that you might have life. He wants to release you from bondage. That's why He's come. The prodigal son is a good example of this. In Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 32. He leaves his home. He leaves his father. He turns his back on everything. And he ended up in wild living. But when the famine came, he lost everything. He was broke. He ended up feeding pigs for his job, longing for the pigs' food. He was out of his mind. But the Bible says that one day he came to his senses. One day he came to his senses. His mind was restored, and he said to himself, "What am I doing here? I'm going to get myself out of this situation. Look at my father's servants. They have food to eat. They have a bed. They have everything. And look at me." He got himself up from where he was and he headed home. Someone said to me, but they didn't see any lightning. Jesus didn't visit them. There was no glory. They just said to themselves one day, "I've had enough of this. I'm going to get myself up from where I am, and I'm not going to do this anymore." Some of us are waiting for God to take our hands, for us not to do the things that we have been doing. But some of us, we need to get our senses back. We need to say, "I'm not doing this anymore. Shame the devil. I'm not going here anymore." Make up your mind. Get out from the thing that is holding you, from the strongholds. Hallelujah. Please stand to your feet. Strongholds in your mind are merely incorrect thinking patterns. They are patterns in your mind that are programmed to think contrary to the truth. We are told to cast down imaginations. What are imaginations? Imaginations are things that we imagine, things that we think about. Cast them down. The devil usually plants them in our minds when he asks us a question that starts with something like, "What if?" or "Did God really say?" Then you begin to think about it. It becomes a stronghold in your life. It takes you over. I come today to break strongholds in the name of Jesus. There are some people that are going to be free today. I tell you, you came in, you're going out differently, because God is about to release you. Past failures and sin, the strongholds in the mind. Shame and guilt, a stronghold in the mind. Feeling hopeless is a stronghold in the mind. Fear is a stronghold. Anything that is affecting your mind that is not of God is a stronghold. And God wants to set some people free. Some Christians, God wants to set you free today. If I've been speaking to you, you want to be released from whatever is holding you. It could be a family situation. It's a setting your mind, he said, not letting you go. God is able today to perform a miracle in your life, because this is the year of miracles. I want you to come if this is you. God is speaking to you. Don't feel ashamed. Whatever it is, it's touching, holding you. Not letting go, not letting go, not letting go, not letting go. I'm not letting you go, I'm not letting you go. I'm holding on to you. 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019. I'm going to hold on to you into 2020 and 2021. But I have come to tell every demonic stronghold that Jesus Christ is Lord and the blood of Jesus sets us free. Hey! This is a serious time, saints. I don't want you to go back home with it. God, by his power, is right here. Pastor Todd, I want you to help me. And I just want you to release strongholds. Not long prayers, but release strongholds that is holding every person here in the name of Jesus. The rest of the church, prayerful, spirit-filled people. This is what we will do on Wednesday. I want you to stretch your hands over these people and begin to release them. Begin to release them. Begin to release them. In the name of Jesus.